GLC presents brought to you by the donations of our faithful partners.
Who is the curse in Daniel 9:11? And this is how we'll know whether Allah is a true God of creation. Now, there are many different words in Hebrew that can make up one word. Like, for example, the word curse. There are different words in Hebrew. But in this chapter and in this verse that I'm going to read you, it chooses one very intriguing one. Okay? But let's go back to verse 9, and you're going to see it there. In chapter 9:11 of Daniel, by the way, it's interesting that Daniel means judgment of God. 9:11, when this was written, there was no chapters and verses.
Oh, wow.
There was no chapters and verses, right? But what a coincidence.
Yeah.
That the curse has to do, in my opinion, with Islam.
Uh-huh.
Check this out. To Yahweh, our Elohim, belongs mercy and mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against Him. It says, neither have we obeyed the voice, Shema, of Yahweh, our Elohim, to walk in His Torahs, in His Torahs, commandments, which He set before us by His servants, the prophets, Nevi'im. Yeah, all Israel hath transgressed thy law. By the way, like you said earlier, you believe you grafted in and you're Israel too. That's what it says.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that means that you included, I am included. We're mm-hmm, both included
yeah,
in this.
Sure.
We all Israel. And it says, even by departing that they may not obey the voice, therefore the curse is poured upon us and the oath that is written in the Torah of Moshe, the servant of Elohim, because we have sinned against them.
Mm.
Now, you know what the word curse means there in Hebrew?
No.
Curse means Allah. From the Strong's Hebrew 4:23. Now, do you find it a coincidence that in the verse in which we have transgressed, Daniel 9:11, and in the ninth of the September 11 mm-hmm. of 2001, mm-hmm. it was Islam who brought down the Twin Towers
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
in this country?
Yeah.
I'm not trying to read too much into the text, but I think it's not a coincidence that the word curse that the prophet used in this chapter, or in this text right here, is not the other Hebrew words that can mean curse, but the one that means Allah.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
You mm-hmm. see what I mean? Mm-hmm. To me, that's interesting.
It's very interesting.
In other words, the word curse is not the same word you normally would use.
Right, there are different words in Hebrew for curse. Yes, sir.
How about that?
But in that verse, it uses Allah. And it means imprecation, curse, cursing, execration, oath, swearing. Don't they call upon the name of Allah every day?
Mm-hmm.
And they don't believe in the Son, that Yahweh has a Son?
Mm-hmm.
So they're speaking blasphemies mm-hmm. against the God of gods, Elohim Elohim,
mm-hmm.
the Lord of lords.
Mm-hmm.
They don't proclaim Yahweh as the Redeemer.
No.
They changed the Torah. They changed their book and said that the blessing comes through Ishmael instead of Isaac.
Mm-hmm.
They changed the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I just find that very intriguing. Let me know how much time I got, because I go on forever and I don't want to make sure I see it, but you stop me now.
52 minutes.
You know, you can't give a Puerto Rican to the mic.
When it gets to zero, we're done.
All right, good.
Okay.
I know, I'm just being kind of funny right now. I just, I always make a joke. It's like, you give a Puerto Rican Jew the mic, you're in trouble.
Don't get it back.
Okay. Have you ever wondered why the first battle for the Promised Land was against Jericho?
Yes.
I mean, you see this, and my son, he loves history. He loves all kinds of battles and war, mm-hmm. just like me. I was a history and geography major, and my son is kind of going the same direction. It's kind of exciting to see my oldest going in that direction. But I always wonder why Jericho. My son told me, well, Papi, because, if you take the strongest city with the strongest walls, it would intimidate the enemies. Absolutely. I agree with that. Mm-hmm. But let's look at it for a minute in the prophetic. Okay? Torah teaches us about the end time scenario here. Okay? Moses, and I hope I spelled that scenario right. I did that on the plane, half asleep. Anyway, son, you forgive me for that one.
It looks okay.
Okay, good. Moses lived 120 years.
Uh-huh.
I don't know about you, but if there's anyone who deserved to live more than that and to touch, at least put his feet on the promised land, was Moses.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Come on. Noah lasted a whole bunch of years. Shem lasted 38 years longer than Abraham. And a lot of people lasted a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
How come Moses lived only to 120 years? There is a prophecy in Genesis chapter 6, verse 3. It says, my spirit shall not contend with men forever, for he is indeed flesh. His days shall be 120 years. Many people teach that it was 120 years of grace that God gave Noah to build the ark. But in chapter 5, in the last verse, it says that Noah was 500 years old when we have Japheth, Shem, and Ham. And then in chapter 7, verse 6, it says that he was 600 years old when he went into the ark because of the waters of the flood. So it only took him 100 years. Mm-hmm. So obviously the 120 years has nothing to do with how long or grace it was, whatever you want to call it. Why don't we submit, let me submit to you the way Yahweh counts. He counts 7 days Sabbath, 7 years, Shemitah, the land rest, seven times seven, 49 plus 1, 50, Jubilee, freedom. Let's count in the way Yahweh counts. Let's multiply 120 times 50, 50 Jubilees. What do you get? 6,000 years. Mm-hmm. Could it be possible that in the story of Moses handing over the baton and the authority to Joshua, and Joshua is a typology of the Messiah. If you go back to the screen, you see it right here. See, Moses lived 120 years, type and shadow of what? The Redeemer, Moses, who draw you out of a slavery. Now, when he gives over to Joshua, the what? The Savior, Yahushua, Yahweh will save. He goes into Jericho. 6,000 years. On the 7,000 is the millennial reign.
Yes.
You follow what I'm saying?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So what's interesting is Moses is a type and shadow here of the 120 years that he lived, 6,000 years of humankind. And then Joshua is a type and shadow of Messiah. Now what's interesting is that Jericho, I would have never dawned into me. I'm going to go through the slide real quick and I'll come back to it. Did you know that Jericho actually means moon city?
No.
See, I never understood that. That's what really led me to find this out. Because I said, well, let me look into the Hebrew word Jericho. The Hebrew root of the word Jericho means moon. So it's moon city. And I'm going to connect that now with modern day map. Okay, stay with me. Say Jericho, the moon city. Allah is the moon god, by the way.
Yes.
Okay. The Levites going around, they went around one time. And then on the seventh day, seven times. Okay. And then the Levites are the chosen priests of Yahweh. Rahab is a typology of Israel. Is a prostitute inside the city, walled city of the moon city. Okay? Now it's interesting, the book of Ezekiel, the book of Hosea, and the Bible tells you that Israel has played the harlot. Okay? Coincidence, there's a woman inside the walled city, stronghold of the moon city. The sound of the shofar. Is the Messiah coming with the sound of the shofar?
Yes.
Can I propose to you that the walls of Jericho is a type and shadow of the nations around the prostitute Israel? And let me show it to you on a map.
Wow.
Now you see in the north you have Lebanon. In the northeast you have Syria. In the east you have Jordan. In the south you have Egypt. And then you have all the nations around it. Israel smack in the middle of it. And to the west you have the Mediterranean Sea. The prostitute Israel, they just had a gay parade in your Tel Aviv, is inside the walls around the moon god, Allah. Would that make a connection? See the prophetic? At the end of 6,000 years, Messiah, who was and is the Redeemer, he's going to change now his role. Now he's going to come in as the what? The warrior. Joshua fought on a valley against Amalek.
Yes, he did.
Joshua fought to take the land of the promised land. So therefore, the Messiah have to do exactly the same thing. So now we can understand why he have to wage war. Why he have to go fight against the enemies of Yahweh.
Is it any coincidence, something I saw on your slide that I wanted to ask you about, the first city being Jericho, that was where, when Arafat set up the new kingdom he had.
Right.
It was Jericho was the seed, not the seat, not Ramallah.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah, you know, I forgot about that. And that is a good point you're bringing up, because a lot of people never make the connection. And now, I completely forgot about it. I got to go back and review that. Thank you. Because now, it's interesting that prophetically we see it, and now in the physical we see it. Why would he go to Jericho? It's an old city. Instead of Ramallah, which is true. So I hope this is making sense to you guys. And again, you know, just go back and look it up and ask the spirit of the living Elohim to bear witness to you. Because you see, if it talks like a duck, if it walks like a duck, you know, it must be a duck, right? So my premise is this. If the whole issue began right there, what is called the Middle East now, different names, the same players. Mm-hmm. And now we see the whole attention paid to the Middle East with a new name, new countries, the same people. Mm-hmm. Why would Yahweh change his focus from the Middle East, where is the center of the world, to Europe or some other place? To me, it's not logical because he never changes.
Right.
So now, you got to remember there's 1.4 billion in the world. And you're going to, I got some maps, I'm going to show you who the locust is in the Revelation chapter 9.
Oh.
Okay, it's going to be very interesting. By the way, I really appreciate you giving me the opportunity to present this. Because, see, my desire is to just share the heart of God, heart of Yahweh, so you can understand what he always had in his scriptures, so you will know his prophetic picture. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be a prophecy teacher. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be, you know, you don't have to be a scholar. All we need to do is be a humble servants who are willing to yield to the presence of Yahweh in our lives and to accept his word so we can have fellowship with him, so now he can have intimacy with you and reveal to us the secrets. Yeah. Just as a husband has the beautiful embrace of a wife, and the wife the same thing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like an intimacy level. Mm-hmm. You know, when you come intimate with him, he hugs you and he goes, I'm going to reveal a little secret to you. Mm-hmm. Let me show you. Mm-hmm. And that's how I perceive this. Mm-hmm. And that's my desire. Now, did you know Gideon, the judge of Israel, he fought against the Amalekites and the Midianites? Now, by
yes.
the way, this is
yes.
prophetic to the end time scenario.
Okay.
And Messiah. Mm-hmm. Okay. But have you ever wondered who the locust is?
Yes.
In Revelation chapter 9. Mm-hmm. And it says, and they came out of the smoke, locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpion of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have met the seal of Elohim their foreheads. If you have Brad here, you'll know that he talks about Esau and making it a connection with agriculture and things like that. It's really intriguing, right? It's like, you know, Esau means like, you know, Edom means red and, mm-hmm. you know, hairy, mm-hmm. right? So you have a connection between agriculture and all that. And this locust here are commanded not to mess up with the trees or the earth. But in the Exodus experience, I'm going to take you there in a minute, he sent locusts from the east to get rid of all of the tree and all the grass, mm-hmm. except for the people. Mm-hmm. Yahweh did in the Exodus experience in a small scale what would happen in the end time scenario, but instead of the land, he would happen to the people.
Ooh.
Okay, and this is what we're going to talk about right now. So now, you know, the Bible gives you the definition of who the locust is in the Bible. Mm-hmm. In Judges chapter 6, verse 1, listen to this. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of Yahweh. You see that? And Yahweh delivered them into the hand of Midian for how long?
Seven years.
Isn't it Jacob's travail 7 years?
Yes.
Midian. Mm-hmm. Who lives in Midian right now? Saudi Arabia. Mm. Verse 2. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel because of the Midianites. The children of Israel made them dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was when Israel had sown and the Midianites came up and the Amalekites and the children of the east. That's very significant. People are saying, well, that must be China.
Yeah, yeah.
China doesn't care about Israel. Mm-hmm. China just wants to, they get this cup from you. They go back and they redo it. And they make
yeah.
it cheaper.
Yeah.
And they just want to have a lot of success, make a lot of money, live happily ever after. They're waking up. I mean, would mm-hmm. you agree with me on that? Now, there are 120 million Muslims in China.
Phew.
You know, close to that, if I, you mm-hmm. know, if my calculation is right, based on my evidence that I have. But there's 1.4 billion Muslims. You can gather a 200 million army out of that.
Oh, yes.
By the way, do you know that Walid Shubat, I hope I pronounce his name right. Mm-hmm. A lot of people know who he is.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
They all know it on this station.
Good, good. Okay, who better to speak about Islam? Somebody who was a Muslim.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. What's interesting, he made a comment in the movie Obsession, which coincidentally, to me, is very intriguing that it was released in Europe and Great Britain, but not in the United States. And that movie, mm-hmm. you need to purchase it. The movie Obsession. I hope you don't mean me. I just need people to be informed.
Well, we have it in our
great
bookstore, you know, I think.
And that movie, to me, is very significant.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, what's interesting, he made a comment. He goes, there's a 20% of the Islamic countries right now, or the Muslims, who are extremists. Now, what is 20% of 1.4 billion Muslims? Isn't there 200? Isn't that exactly what the Bible talks about?
Oh, wow.
So if his estimation is right, 200 million Muslims, 20% of 1.4, there it is.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to look any further.
Mm-mm.
You know, so how can Allah be the same God as Yahweh when they're trying to kill the people who serve Yahweh? Mm-hmm. If it's the same God, you're not going to kill each other.
That's right.
Anybody who says it's the same God, they're not really studying the scriptures that I'm studying.
That's right.
And it's sad.
It is.
Because that's misleading people, and political correctness is killing this country.
Yes, it is.
Oh, terrible.
Absolutely.
It's terrible. And you know what? And again, this is my opinion. It has no reflection on the station. We need to stand up for what is true. Because it's Yahweh's words. And we are accountable to what we share with people.
What makes us so mad is so many of the Christian networks are saying Allah is the same God as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
You know that's blasphemy, right?
It is. Absolutely it is.
It's a moon god. You are substituting. You're doing what the children of Israel did in the wilderness. They put a different god in Yahweh's face.
Mm-hmm.
Moses leaves. They miscalculate the time and they worship another god.
Mm-hmm.
Messiah leaves. He hasn't come back in 2,000 years. He hasn't come yet. And now they're putting in, they're saying that Allah is the mm-hmm. God of creation.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that what the children of Israel did in the wilderness?
Oh, yeah.
So we have to be very careful what we say sometimes.
Amen.
So let me continue here real quick. And I hope this is making sense to you guys that are listening and watching. And I hope this edifies. And verse 4 says, "And they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till that thou come unto Gaza and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor donkey. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as locusts for multitude." Revelation uh-huh. chapter 9 speaks about locusts.
Uh-huh.
And here we see that in the Bible, it's already given us the definition of who the locust is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? "For both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it." It says, and Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel did what? They cried unto Yahweh. Isn't that exactly what was prophesied by the prophet mm-hmm. when told to Solomon?
Mm-hmm.
That he will raise up an adversary
mm-hmm.
that happens to be the Edomites.
Mm-hmm.
And Amalek is the grandson of Esau.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we see the whole pattern in Scripture.
Oh, yes.
Isn't that interesting how it's been in front of our faces the whole time?
Mm-hmm.
And he was scratching our heads and saying, "Who's a locust? Who's a locust? Who's
mm-hmm.
a locust?"
Mm-hmm.
And we're crazy Messianic Jews coming around. Let's come back to the Torah and he'll give you the definition.
That's right.
You know, it's mm-hmm. just right there. So it's just, to me, it's very intriguing. Verse 7 says, "And it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto Yahweh because of the Midianites." So who are the people who are attacking Israel right now?
Midianites.
The Midianites, the Amalekites, and the Ishmaelites. They're all mixed in, and mm-hmm. they are known now in the religion as Islam. You know?
Sure.
Verse 8, "That Yahweh sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus says Yahweh Elohim of Israel." Okay, now this is very interesting. He says, uses the expression of Elohim. That's the attribute of justice. Okay, and Yahweh is an attribute of mercy. Okay, it says, "I brought you from Egypt and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hands of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you and gave you their land." This is prophetic to the Messiah. So Gideon in this story is a type and shadow of Messiah. Gidon means warrior.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
And they're fighting in the valley in Judges chapter 7, verse 12. I'm getting warmed up now. Okay, "And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east laid alone in the valley like locusts."
Ah.
200 million army, 20% of 1.4 billion Muslims in the world, who come from the seed that is not the promised seed, descendants of Esau, the Amalekites, the Ishmaelites, and the Midianites. By the way, the Midianites are sons of Abraham too.
You know, even if the, like you say, even if those 200 are in China and they consider themselves maybe Chinese Muslim, but when the Imam says go, they will go.
Absolutely.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and I remember too that you don't necessarily have to be an Amalekite genealogically in order to fulfill the prophecy.
Sure.
You just have to have the spirit of Amalek.
Uh huh.
Also.
That's right.
You know, instill doubt. So you can gather, there's 145, close to 200 million Muslims in Indonesia alone. Coincidence, tsunami, mm-hmm. volcanoes, another tsunami, mm-hmm. earthquakes,
mm-hmm.
planes.
Mm-hmm.
in a country mm-hmm. that blasphemes against Yahweh mm-hmm. every day, mm-hmm. who cuts the heads of Christians when they go out there and try to preach the gospel. Mm-hmm. So we don't understand these things that are happening. Yahweh's trying to send forth a message of judgment to a nation that worships Allah, and we don't see it. Mm-hmm. He's trying to talk to us. Mm-hmm. Pay attention. Pay attention.
Amen.
And rendering judgment to the enemies of Yahweh. Mm-hmm. And remember what it says, that Yahweh will wage war from generation to generation against Amalek. So in Judges chapter 7, verse 12, it says, "And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along the valley," keep that in mind, the valley, "like locusts for multitude, and their camels were without number, and the sand by the seaside for multitude." Now we see this in Egypt. I'm not going to read you the whole thing, but in Exodus 10:13 says, that in verse 1, "And Moses stretched out his rod over the land of Egypt, and Yahweh brought an east wind upon the land all the day and all the night. And when it was morning, the east wind brought the locusts." So you see a type and shadow mm-hmm. in a tribulation period in Egypt that is going to be a type and shadow of the end time scenario. Mm-hmm. So if there was locusts in Egypt, they have to be locusts now. Mm-hmm. So in the book of Revelation, that's what it's about to tell you. So who the locusts? Go back to Egyptian exile. You know, and then where did the locusts come from? From the east. So therefore, so the modern day locusts, which are not, they're going to destroy the trees, they're going to destroy the people, they have to come from the east. Mm-hmm. They can't come from Rome, that's the west.
Yeah.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
So they,
Interesting. I'm making you think, am I? That's a good thing.
I was thinking about the Saudis and those people who the Egyptians do not like.
Right. They all fight each other.
It doesn't matter.
It's true.
They all hate each other.
I know. Isn't that interesting?
It is.
Anyway. "And the locusts went over the land of Egypt and rested on all the coasts of Egypt. Very grievous were they. Before them, they were no such locusts as they, neither after them shall such." And it says, "For they cover the face of the whole earth." But wait a minute. Talking about Egypt. How come it says, how come it didn't say they cover the whole land of Egypt?
Yeah.
Why didn't it?
Wow.
It's prophetic.
Yeah.
Yahweh is using Egypt in a lower scale to talk about the end time. You see, little things like that, really, we don't pay attention to because at the time, Egypt was like the United States now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
It was the powerhouse.
It was a powerhouse. But when it says the face of the whole earth, by the way, I'm going to show you a map in a minute, that are only going to cover Europe and the Middle East and Africa, and that's not going to include the 32 million Muslims that are in Europe, okay, and the 10 million that are in the United States. You know, and the one in Central America and South America is the fastest religion right now growing in Puerto Rico.
Mm-hmm. It is.
It's the fastest religion right now. I don't know why. I have another teaching in school. It's Islam the Beast, which explains about the 666 and some things like that. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to introduce this because if I could just bring people back to the Torah and they come back to the prophets and they start seeing these types and shadows there that from the beginning have been declared. So we know
That's
what
right.
is happening right now. Then we might be able to understand through the Spirit of Yahweh what has been revealed right now and what we see in the news.
Ecclesiastes says there's nothing new under the sun.
Absolutely, but we're trying to reinvent the wheel.
Yeah.
And remember, all the people that are saying that, they are the people that refuse to go back to the Torah for instruction.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if the Torah is our wisdom, then we're never going to be able to see the wisdom that he's trying to convey to his servants in the last days to see the evidence of
Unless
the end times.
We go back to it.
Amen. So now watch. As I go to Exodus 10:11, 10:19, I'm going to interpret this. I'm going to give you my interpretation.
Okay.
It says, "And Yahweh turned a mighty strong west wind, which took away the locusts, and cast them into the Red Sea. There remained no locusts in all the sea, in all the coast of Egypt." Now, this is my interpretation. Okay, and it's not canonized. It's the gospel according to Rico, so you don't have to accept it if you don't want to. Isn't it interesting how in the first Gulf War and the second Gulf War, it was the nations of the West who came push the locust, which I believe is Islam, away.
Mm-hmm.
They're pushing it away.
Mm-hmm.
They're the enemies are coming in and pushing them towards the seas. You know, so you can look at it like you want. But it's interesting that in the Egyptian experience, you see the locusts coming from the east with a strong wind. And then to take them away, strong west wind. Mm-hmm. And I believe that the United States and Britain, even though we are not living according to the scriptures, okay, we're not. It's the reality of it. And judgment will come because of that.
Yes, that's right.
But Britain and United States have been a refuge for the children of Israel. Mm-hmm. That's why this land has been blessed. Mm-hmm. Because even though we do wrong things, but we're still a refuge for the children of Israel. Okay? So anyway, in Proverbs 30, verse 27 says, the locusts have no king, yet they go forth all them by bands. And that is so true.
Yes, it is.
The locusts, which already Judges mentions them as the Malachites and the Midianites, they have no king. Mm-mm. By the way, that's what you have to look for in the last days. When there arises a man who brings peace to the Middle East and the Islamic nations, let me give you a clue, in my opinion. If there arises a man who brings peace between the Shiites and the Sunnis, that could very well be the anti-Messiah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because no man can bring peace among the Islamic nations.
That's right.
If there arises one man who brings peace to the Islamic nations, that is the enemy of Yahweh. Mm-hmm. That is the anti-Messiah. Mm-hmm. Because they're strong in number, but they're weak and leadership. Shalom, and thank you for joining us. I hope this teaching has been a blessing and challenging for you to come back and keep searching and seeking the great things about Yahweh and His Torah. This has been a challenging teaching, and I understand that. Do not believe anything that I say. Verify everything that I say. If you'd like to get in touch me, you can send me an email at wisdomintorah@yahoo.com. Or if you'd like to seek out some of the other teachings that I have on my website, you can go into www.wisdomintorah.com. Now, if you'd like to get in touch with me and send me an email, and you'd like to invite me to some of your congregations to share some of the things that I'm sharing on, that I'm teaching, it will be a pleasure and a privilege. Just send me an email. We can discuss the matter. And if you're interested in ordering this show, you can call GLC and you can order the teaching. I hope that Yahweh blesses you and keep you. And remember, He is truth. The Torah is truth. Yeshua is truth. Our Redeemer, our Savior. May Yahweh bless you and keep you. And I'll see you next time. Shalom.
This program was produced by and for God's Learning Channel. If you enjoy this program, we need your support to keep this program on GLC. Please make your checks out to God's Learning Channel, P.O. Box 61000, Midland, Texas 79711-1000. Please be sure to designate where your contribution is intended. It is very important to let GLC know which programs you enjoy and support.
Order your copy today from the GLC bookstore by calling the number on your screen. Please include the program number when ordering.